Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and to the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? So we're starting a new series. Those three words, ask, seek, knock. And let's be trusting that as people join us for the carol service on the 19th at 6 o'clock, or if anyone comes on Christmas Day, or visitors are here, let's be praying already for our family, for our friends, that they would be asking those questions, that they would be seeking him, that their eyes would be opened. Ask, that first word, ask. We saw that beautifully demonstrated, didn't we, by Seth and Jordan there. It was Jordan, Jason. I always mix them up. They're both the same first letter. It doesn't help me. It helps you. You just say J. J. Levy. Yes, one way to get both their attention. But there's that thing of asking questions. And I think our education system kind of drives that question out of us, isn't it? And that curiosity. And I remember speaking to a professor of physics in Cardiff. He's a Christian. He's a fantastic guy, very clever fellow. And I asked him, what's the most important thing, would you say? He says, that's about curiosity. See, curiosity is that thing, and I'm sure Kaveri would agree, it's curiosity that causes people to think. And sometimes we make it about knowledge and information, but actually the education system really, to excel, it's actually about having that curiosity. Why? Why? Why does this work? Questioning. So I did an apprenticeship as an aircraft engineer. So, you know, 17 years old, you know, we've got the college, we've got the kind of the placement and the different departments, and we've got to learn everything from how to build one to, well, we don't have to learn it all, but we have to understand all the different departments. And then as you go through, you end up specializing, I suppose, a little bit like medicine. And sometimes you've got to spend time with managers, sometimes you've got to spend time in bookkeeping. So you really get this overall picture of how this thing works. How does this massive mechanism of 1,500 people working together, how does it work? This jet engine coming along, being sent into all these different piece parts, miraculously all being collected and ordered and all put back together so that, can you remember those days we used to go on jet planes so that we could fly abroad? And some people still do a little bit. That's what I call them now. I call them jet planes, just for fun. But yeah, I haven't been on a plane for a while. I think many of us haven't. But one of the things, I got a nickname as an apprentice. My nickname was Chrissy Q. Chrissy Q, because I used to ask lots of questions. Because it fascinated me. I wanted to know what the materials were. And if you're into engineering, there's all sorts of fascinating things around how they make, like on a jumbo jet engine, when the tip of the rotor blade is spinning around, it's the equivalent of 20 double-decker buses pulling that blade apart, the force. They use like a gallon of fuel a second on takeoff. So that's 4 gallons a second. Because how do you get 400 tons of metal fast enough so that air can go over the wings and lift it up? And I found it fascinating, the science, the engineering, the materials. But of course, sometimes you can ask too many questions, a little bit like those boys. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. They were starting to dominate. Sometimes we've got older people that do that as well, don't we? And we've got to be careful to be mindful of others, to give others people opportunity. But I used to ask so many questions. That was my nickname, Chrissy Q. Because I was insatiable, my hunger, to understand how these things worked, how they came together. And I wonder how your questioning is when it comes to the Bible, when it comes to the things of God. And it's great to ask questions. And here's a question for you. When was the last time you asked God for something? When was the last time you asked? Jesus is talking here about asking, and asking is something that you do with your mouth, isn't it? I suppose you could write it on an email, but generally you ask, it's a verbal, isn't it, generally? When was the last time you asked God? And it talks in James, isn't it? You have not because you ask not. And we often try, don't we? As we often try and do things in our own strength, don't we? And we reach for the paracetamol before prayer. I try to pray before the paracetamol. Does that make sense? Doesn't mean there's any, we love medicine and it's fantastic, but it's where do we go? Where do we go for our help? Do we try and do things ourselves or do we seek God? And my nickname was Chrissy Q, questioner. And are you a questioner? And it's good to ask questions. And some questions are difficult questions. We all have those difficult questions. And in our faith, sometimes we have our doubts and our challenges, don't we? Ask and it will be given to you. I started thinking and questioning, well, where are questions in the Bible? And one of the first questions was God, isn't it? Where are you? Can you remember that question? They'd eaten. Sin had come in. They'd listen to Satan. They'd listen to this deceit. Did God really say? Well, that's one of the, that pride, isn't it? Undermining authority. Basically saying, hey, God, is God really like that? Did God really say not to do that? Adam ate, and then he comes looking for them, and where are you? Questions that I thought, Jesus asked a question as well. Can you remember the guy who was sick, and he says, do you want to be healed? Can you remember that question? Do you want to be healed? And sometimes we can get so used to our problems, can't we? We can nurse problems. And I see this as a minister. I see this in people's lives when people have got hurts or offenses. Instead of dealing with them or allowing that thing to be healed, they'll carry on to it. They don't want to let it go. And you can see what happens. Bitterness comes in, doesn't it? You see it, and you see them. Maybe you've seen friends, and you can see how it affects relationships. When people, but do you want to be healed? That's a really important question. And maybe there's areas of your life, and fasting is one of those things. It's not to do with our knowledge about God. It's to do with our intimacy with God. It's to do with that spiritual formation, and it's those spiritual disciplines of prayer and fasting and studying the Word. They're the things that cause us to mature. They help us to grow up. They help us to develop in our faith as we study, as we ask those questions. I wonder if there's anything in your life that you need healing from, physically, emotionally. Maybe there's something that's happened. Maybe there's something that's happened with a person or is happening right now, and you need to sort it out. And Jesus gave us that model, didn't he? If you've got a problem, speak to the person. Don't speak about, and sadly, still, even among us, it's always easier to talk to others than to talk to a person. And when you say so-and-so, so-and-so to one person, by the time it comes there, it becomes magnified, and it's actually not the truth. And it becomes slander and gossip, and it causes hurt. And it's so important to follow Jesus' model when it comes to these things. Do you want to be healed? Some people don't want to be healed. Some people enjoy the drama. I want a life full of adventure, but I don't want too much drama. And some of us, we know those dramatic people in our lives. There are some people, they're drama, yeah? We don't need drama. God wants adventure, but not drama. Ask and it will be given to you. And of course, there's that question that Jesus asked. And I talk about this a lot, but it is the question of questions. Who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Who do people say that I am? Some say you're a wise, some say you're a teacher. Who do you say? That's probably the most important question any of us will have to give an answer for. Who do you say that I am? Many of us here, for us, you are the Christ. And if you're the Christ, then that's going to have an implication, isn't it? If Jesus is the person that we sing around, it's going to change every area of our life. It's not just going to change what we do on a Sunday. It's going to change what we do Monday. It's going to change our relationships. It's going to change our finance. This gospel of the kingdom, the gospel that Jesus taught. Jesus taught the gospel of the kingdom. He didn't teach any other gospel. Sometimes we've made other gospels. But ask and it will be given to you. What is it that you're asking for? What is your answer to those questions that Jesus has asked for you? I hope that you've come to that place. You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. And there's that freedom. And as we're in relationship with him, let's read that passage again. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Sometimes when we look at this, we think about maybe this means God's going to answer all of our prayers. And we know in the book of James that sometimes our prayers aren't answered because our motives are wrong. Sometimes there's a wrong motive there. But this concept of asking, seeking, and knocking, it doesn't mean that God's going to do what we want. He's not a Father Christmas God. We have to trust that he knows the best. And that's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult when things don't get answered straight away. But there's this emphasis here of us, our part. See, sometimes we can think about the receiving and the answer to the prayer and the finding, but actually, there's this requirement that we ask. There's this requirement that we seek. Seeking is that looking. It's like maybe you're looking for Christmas gifts and it's hard to find, or a particular thing. You know, there's that seeking, isn't it? We see those parables, isn't it? The lost coin, the pearl of great value. There's that desire and that seeking. And knocking, sometimes we think of doors, isn't it? Doors being closed, don't we? We think of doors being open. And we come on to that as we go through the series. What does that mean? But this asking, seeking, knocking. But it's not just about what God does for us. It starts with, what are we doing? We have to be proactive in this. God is inviting us into this process. And the Bible says that God knows what we need even before we ask. So God is omniscient. That's the theology term. It means he's all-knowing. Jesus didn't use confusing words like that. Isn't it great? Jesus is all-knowing. God is all-knowing. He knows what we need. But it's for us to see when we pray, it helps us in this relationship. It helps us see that God answers our prayer, that God works with us. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and to the one who seeks he finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Finishes with an ask. And there's a parable in Luke 15. It's the parable, I often talk about this one, because it's such a powerful parable. It's the parable of the prodigal son, we often call it. I call it the dad of the decade. But it's a prodigal. And if you read that parable, and we're not going to read it now, time is moving on. But if we read that parable, you can go there. The heartbreaking thing is, for me, the saddest part of this parable is the older brother. You've got this younger brother. He asks his father for his inheritance early. We know the story. We know it well. You could recite it as well as I could. But we often miss the older brother. And often we can be like the older brother. And the older brother doesn't actually call him father. He doesn't even call him his brother, does he? He says, this son of yours, you know, has been partying. And let me just pick that up, the end of the story. Verse 30, Luke 15. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive, was lost and is now found. And the heartbreaking thing when I look at this parable is that the older brother did not know the heart of the father. He didn't have that relationship. And I always find it interesting when I listen to how people pray to God. See, God is first and foremost the Father. Yes, he is Lord. He is Almighty Father. I love that kind of French translation, that Papa. because he's an authority in the family, isn't it? There's respect and honor, but there's that intimacy, there's that affection, there's that closeness. And for God so loved the world that he sent a servant, that he sent an ambassador, he sent his son. See, God is first and foremost the Father. And he wants to be a father in our lives. He wants to be fatherly, isn't it? Father-like, he tends and guides us. That's one of the carols, isn't it? Or one of the hymns. Father, do you know God as Father? Do you know God as Father? Do you address God as Father? Have you experienced him as Father? When was the last time you asked a question? When was the last time you asked God to reveal himself to you or show you something? Going back to our passage, it's all about Father, isn't it? You see it there. God is a good Father. He does that comparison, doesn't he? With an earthly Father and a heavenly Father. Verse 11, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Ask. Can I encourage you to ask more questions? Can I encourage you to pray more? Can I encourage you to even if something difficult comes up and you think, I'm just going to write that down. Be like Chrissy Q. And what does that mean? Help me understand. I don't understand this thing. Or I've got something not right. Sort it out. Speak to someone. But ask. We need to use our mouths. We need to speak up more. And God is a good Father. And as we come to this time of Christmas, a lot of our prayers in the prayer and fasting, we're about preparing. And we're about praying for our loved ones who don't know him. And there is a lot of noise out there in the world, isn't it? The world is full of noise and distraction, and can be especially so at this time. But praying for anointed conversations around the Christmas table, around the works party, or that friends that you're getting around. Let's use this time. Are we going to use this time to live outside of ourselves and give opportunity? And are we asking God to change people's hearts around us? Just before we close this, just take some time just to reflect. And I just want to give you opportunity right now. What are you asking God for right now? Just take a few minutes quietly. What's in your heart? What do you need breakthrough for? What do you need answers for? What do you need to seek God for? Let's just take literally 2 minutes just to quieten our hearts and just to listen. And Holy Spirit, teach us what to pray. I often pray that. And if you don't know what to pray, just say, Spirit, teach me what to pray. Because he will. He'll show you what you need to pray for. Because there can be so much noise in our head and our hearts, we actually don't know where to start sometimes, do we? But if we just say, Holy Spirit, just teach us how to pray. What is it we need to ask of you? Let's just take a few minutes and in your own prayers, lift up some things that you're asking for in your life.